This scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship video by St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on July 11th, 2021. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
The second reading comes from St Paul's letter to Ephesians, chapter 1. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us, who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own good plan. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews, who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The sermon today is based on the epistle reading from the letter to the Ephesians. Grace, peace and mercy are ours through the triune God. Amen. What happens when you meet someone for the first time? Perhaps you shake hands, or these days, elbows. You exchange names, but then you need something more to say. Maybe you ask questions that help you to put the person into some kind of context. You might ask, for example, "So, do you live around here?" Or, as we sometimes hear in church circles, "And who are you related to?" Or even, "And what was your mother's maiden name?" Maybe we don't do that as often as we used to. We try to work out how we fit, or how this new person fits into the world that we already know. And often, if you're anything like me, you might revert to the classic question, "And what do you do?" This can be seen as the appropriate level of social engagement, the right social currency to establish who someone is. And so, we often define each other by what we do. To some extent, that's our identity. Our text today from Ephesians doesn't play by these rules at all. In fact, it turns this sense of worth or identity, who we are, completely on its head. It says that what we do doesn't make us who we are. Instead, it shows us that our identity comes from what God has done for us. And how do we know what God has done for us? Well, the letter to the Ephesians says that God has revealed his plan and his saving action in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus shows us that what God is up to is absolutely cosmic in its scope and in its proportions. This letter to the Ephesians is quite different from the two letters that Paul wrote to the young church in Corinth. These two letters were written to address and correct errors in teaching and practice. In contrast, the letter to the Ephesians is written to reassure its readers of God's generous and lavish love for them, as revealed in Christ. Its tone is much more effusive and generous, to match the generosity of God's grace. And as we look at the first part of chapter 1 today, we hear of the avalanche of gifts that God has given us. There's blessing, election, adoption, redemption, forgiveness, inheritance. We are blessed and we are loved. Now, some of these words might not mean as much to a modern audience as they did to the people of the fledgling church in Ephesus. For example, the word election or choosing. We heard from Marlene about choice. So election is nothing to do with choosing political parties, for instance, to form a government. And it's everything to do with God's generosity. Because it means that God has chosen us to become God's children, to become part of God's family. Now, before we start thinking that this makes us special in some way, that it's about who's in and who's out, it's good to remember that it's actually about the enormous scope of God's generosity. It's bigger and better than our wildest imaginings. God chooses to come to all people through Jesus Christ. And another word that's a bit different today is adoption. In the ancient world, this meant that an ordinary person, like you or me, might be taken under the wing of a rich, powerful patron or benefactor. In fact, in the ancient world, there was such a thing as inheritance fantasies, and they're reasonably common in the literature of the time. People would dream of being adopted by a benefactor. When a benefactor adopted you, you inherited not just their wealth, but also their social worth, which was really important in that ancient culture of shame and honour. So you were set for life. You had riches, social standing, and security. There were no more worries. I guess the nearest thing today for us might be the way we dream about winning the lottery, if only we remember to buy a ticket. Or more likely, if someone thought we were just so wonderful that they just had to give us the winning ticket. So in those days when you were adopted, there was riches, success, status. There was no more shame. All of the benefits of your benefactor became yours. So if somebody asked you who you were, what your identity was, well, for example, you were no longer just plain old Sue. After adoption, you had a new identity. You were now Sue, daughter of Sir Alan of the organ. Or something a bit like that. Maybe not quite like that. Now, this way of understanding adoption becomes downright spectacular when it is God who's in the role of the adopter, the one who gives the inheritance. First of all, God is the benefactor to end all benefactors. Because God doesn't just have enough to give to a single adopted daughter or son. This is our God of limitless love and generosity. He can and does adopt everyone into God's family. As the letter to the Ephesians makes very clear, God's plan is for all things to be united in Christ, to be unified. There is no place, and more importantly, no person that God's love cannot reach. No one or nothing is hopeless. Now, this is important because sometimes it's hard to see ourselves as worthy candidates for adoption. We know all too well our failings, our sins, and our brokenness. We imagine that with all our imperfections, we must surely be incompatible with God, whom we know, after all, is the source of all goodness and who is perfection personified. But God has that problem solved too. And the answer is right there in verse 5, where it says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. So in and through Jesus Christ, God sees us as his beloved children. It is Christ's perfection that shines and Christ's righteousness that enables our adoption. Christ transforms our brokenness. And the good news is that God's grace in Jesus Christ precedes us. It came before we were even here. It surrounds us and it sustains us. As we hear in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because God first loved us. This means not just as a response, where God was nice to us, so we'll be nice back. But actually, it's enablement. We are able to love only because God, who is love, first loved us and gave us his love. So through Christ and through the gift of the Holy Spirit in baptism, we are adopted as daughters and sons of God. But there's another surprise coming as well. Remember that in the ancient world, an adopted person inherited all the standing, position, and privileges of the one who adopted you. So what is the position, the status, the privilege, so to speak, of being adopted by God? Well, as I said earlier, our adoption does not make us special in relation to other people. And to find the answers about our adoption, we can look at Christ, who is our forerunner and our model. Like Christ, we are called to specific tasks of serving God and serving our neighbour. We are not called to privilege or special status, to lord it over other people. We are instead called to discipleship and to the suffering of the cross. When God calls us, he calls us to come and die, most especially to die to self. We are not to be self-serving, but we are to serve our neighbour. Or to put the same thing in another way, we are called to live in and celebrate what Christ is doing to redeem aching souls and our suffering world. To pay attention to what God is doing in our midst and in the midst of our world. In fact, more than that, we are called to join in with God, to take part in his action in the world. We are the body of Christ, and we are to bring Christ's presence with us wherever we go. And actually, that's a really important point to keep in mind about our baptism. Our baptism is not something that just joins each one of us as an individual with God. We are baptized into community. We'll see that next week when Elijah is brought to baptism in our community. We become part of a family, God's family, where all are equal, and who together are the body of Christ in the world. As Teresa of Avila, a saint from the 16th century, said, Christ has no body now, but yours. No hands, no feet on earth, but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now on earth, but yours. We are called to be God's children, to have our identity in Christ, to be Christ's body here on earth. Through baptism, we are reminded again and again of who we are and of whose we are, brought back to the sheer joy of living as God's beloved people. And in this joy, we can echo our reading from Ephesians today as we join together in praising God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Amen.